Welcome to the Global Business Women's Pod, hosted by the Greater Houston Women's Chamber of Commerce. I am Susan Dyson and extremely excited to be your podcast host. In my day job, I am proud to be the CEO, president, and founder of the Chamber. Every Thursday at 6 p.m., we will bring you inspiring stories of women who are leading in the advancement of women and girls. We will take you with us to our premier events. You will meet entrepreneurs, executives, and philanthropists who will empower and inspire you to succeed. So please mark your calendars and join us for the Empowering Global Business Women's Pod, Thursday at 6 p.m. Well, we're so excited today to welcome Marisol Salazar. She has an amazing story. And Marisol, we would love to hear a little bit about your journey getting where you are. Could you share a little bit more about yourself?
Sure. Thank you for having me. You know, my journey is one that I've grown to appreciate over time. It's not been always the easiest or sort of a straight path, but I do think that all the different steps that I went through really got me to where I am today. So my family were migrant farm workers. And so when people ask me, where are you from? I always like to answer, I'm a little bit from everywhere. Born in Houston, raised just south of Miami, but also grew up in Michigan, South Texas, and a number of other states. For my parents, education was a really big, important thing that anybody should have. And my father believed that that's really how you break the cycle of poverty. And so he used to tell me when we would work that, you know, there are two ways to earn your money in this world, with your back or your brain. And so you really have to decide how you want to spend your time and where you want to spend your time. And definitely getting an education was at the top of my priority. So got a chance to go to the University of St. Thomas here in Houston, Texas, earned my bachelor's degree, and then decided to get my master's degree from St. Thomas as well. And, you know, I always kind of knew I wanted to do banking, wasn't quite sure how to do that. I started off as a teller and slowly just worked my way up and had the opportunity to interview for a position in the energy group at Comerica Bank. Didn't know anything about energy or what exactly it encompassed. And, you know, 25 years later, I am still doing energy lending, and it's turned out to be a fantastic career. And certainly appreciate all the folks that I've worked with and have really played a role in my growth in this career.
What an amazing story. I think that you need to think about writing a book. I think that it would make a great movie, too, as well. You need to think about who would play you, too. That would be
Ava Longoria, right?
oh, wonderful. Okay. From Texas, too, as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amazing. Yeah. You know, and we all look back at our careers and say, gosh, I wish I'd done this or that. Do you have anything that you would do differently?
You know, there aren't too many things that I point out that I would do differently. I think even the mistakes that I've made really helped me grow and learn from it. But one of the things that I think always seems to stick out in my mind is, you know, as a young professional, just not really realizing the benefits of networking and networking at a young age. I was so focused on having to get through school or, you know, finding kind of a job or what was the next sort of step for me to do that I didn't always think about networking as being a priority. You know, I wish I had done an internship, but again, not always having that knowledge, especially as a first gen student, that's so important. Now, when I talk to young students, that's one of the first things that I bring up is make sure you're finding those mentors, mentees, people that you can talk to that have shared experiences. Go out and network, even if you think this person's not even in my major, why do I need to, you know, network at such a young age? It's so important. It's important as you develop in your career whether that person is directly related to the industry that you're in or not, networking is probably the most important thing that I wish I had done a lot earlier and had really realized the benefits of networking.
So true. As I say, it's who you know in the world.
Exactly.
Not always what you know, but that's really the success of the chamber is because of the amazing relationships that we've made through the years. And I know you talked a little bit about your father. We'd like to hear more about the role your mom and your dad played in your influencing you in your career and in life in general. And then also, is there someone that stands out that has been a mentor or is still a mentor or a sponsor for you?
Sure. The influence of my parents is definitely deep. Both of them sort of provide some sort of claim to one side of my personality or the other. Definitely for my father, I have this drive to just always do my best and work hard. You know, he was, very simple in his advice that he would give me. It doesn't matter what you end up being in life, just be the best at it. Always do your best. And he would say, if you're destined to be a janitor, then be the best janitor. Hold your head up high. Be proud of that. And go out and always try your best. And so from my perspective, his advice, though very basic, was very much an aha moment as I moved throughout my career, which was just to go out there and always do my best and make sure that, you know, I was being heard and was proud of what I was doing. And at the end of the day, if you won or lost at something, you knew you had given it your all. From my mother, I definitely got, I think, the more charitable aspect. She believed highly in giving back to the community and helping others. She was a fierce advocate for women and also just, you know, doing whatever you can to support people trying to make a change in this world. So from her, I definitely feel like there is almost a requirement for us to give back to the community to pay back or pay forward so many of the people that also contributed to my success, not just in business, but really I can't even begin to thank the teachers that were a part of my life. You know, as a migrant farm worker, we moved a lot. I was in different states. I started school in one place and would finish in another. And, you know, I was very fortunate that I had some amazing teachers that would give up their personal time to make sure that I was always caught up on anything that I was, you know, potentially lacking. They spent time with me. They always made sure that, you know, whatever tools and supplies I needed, I had. And so for me, when I sort of go back and I think about my parents, you know, I also think about those teachers that wanted me to succeed and, you know, trying to pay it forward as much as possible. And I think that's really what I learned from both of my parents is you have to be driven. You have to always do your best, but, you know, make sure that you're also helping people along the way, that if you have the opportunity to help someone up and progress, then you definitely take that opportunity. So I've got some amazing unofficial mentors, I would say, in my life, a couple of them here at work. Certainly my boss is one of my biggest advocates. You, on the surface, you would look at us and we look very, very different, but, you know, at our core, our values are very much the same. And he actually, I would say, is the person that I either can say thanks to you or I'm going to blame you for the position that I'm in because, you know, he always, you know, was kind of the first one to spot that, hey, I think you can do this. And even though sometimes you may kind of question, am I ready for this? You know, Coy was always very direct, very honest, but always very supportive. He gave great feedback and, you know, was always an advocate. So definitely I would say my current boss, Coy, has been a great unofficial official mentor to me.
Oh, I love to hear the influence that both of your parents gave you, but hearing about your mother really teaching you at an early age how important it is to pay it forward. So share a little bit about your volunteer work in the community and how it has helped you in your career.
So most of the things that I do in the community in terms of volunteering really revolve around sort of the advice that my parents gave me, which was, again, education is the way to break the cycle of poverty. Knowledge for them was very, very important. So many of the charitable things that I'm involved with, a lot of the boards that I sit on, really revolve around education. I've been a member of the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo, which raises money for scholarships to send kids to school and get a higher education. I currently sit on the alumni board for my university. Again, really focused on providing scholarships and helping people, you know, really get through education and you know, try to better their current position. You know, I sit on a board, or I sat on a board and then part of the endowment board for an early childhood education program, which again really focuses on empowering families to take control of their education process and really allowing parents to be those first advocates for their children and to really instill the importance of an education and being involved with their children in that education process. So again, for me, community service is just part of what I grew up with and what I was expected to always do, which is contribute and find a way to more effectively contribute. And for me, again, the organizations that I belong to really focus on that educational piece, because I do think that that's, you know, really how to push forward and how to provide, how do you move forward, which is gaining knowledge and gaining experience and really helping folks, give them the tools that they need to be able to succeed, you know, with already a lot of the gifts and talents they already have.
Thank you for sharing that amazing wisdom about volunteering and how it does come back to you. You know, I think you're living proof of that as well. And I know we would be here all day if you shared every accomplishment that you have made, but I know there's some that you're particularly proud of. Could you share some of those with us?
Sure. One of the things that I think I'm the most proud of is establishing an interview closet at the University of St. Thomas, which is named after my mother. And it's important to me for a number of reasons. One, my mother was notorious. It was almost a running joke in our family that she was notorious for giving away a lot of items that you may really, really like. So if there was a particular dress or a particular, you know, pair of shoes or something, and they went missing, there's a good chance that, as my sister would say, you know, you gotta watch out what you do with your favorite pair of shoes, because mom will give them away. And I remember telling her, hey, you know, I think, you know, as migrant farm workers, like, we didn't have a lot of money either. And I'm like, why are you giving away our things? She goes, it's important that we give back, and we have plenty, you know, and we have more than enough, and we're more than blessed. And so it became a running joke that if your clothes disappear, there's a good chance that our mother probably gave them away to someone. But, you know, you knew that she did it out of the goodness of her heart. So when the opportunity came up at my university that they wanted to establish at Career Services, really what they call an interview closet, which is stocking it with suits, accessories, portfolios, shoes, anything related to potentially outfitting a student or an alum with interview clothes or interview items. So, you know, when this opportunity came up, I immediately raised my hand. And, you know, I'm fortunate to have both the resources at this point in my life and really the opportunity to reach out to some folks to really try to help establish it. So, you know, I reached out to a lot of my friends. You know, we've got a lot of suits, everything needed to establish a closet. So racks, you name it. But, you know, my company was so generous. They donated interview portfolios. But you really can get anything and everything that you need to not just interview, but should you happen to win that job and land that job, then they will help you sort of establish that wardrobe. When I first started off in banking, you know, I never realized how expensive a wardrobe can be. And I will tell you, my first outfit or a couple of outfits really consisted of a rotation of a black skirt, a black pair of slacks, and probably the same top, just in different patterns. And so I would just mix and match as much as I could. And then I sort of always paired it with pearls or, you know, some jacket. So for me, being able to establish an interview closet named after my mother with her picture in there and really give people the opportunity to come in and feel like they're fully prepared, not just on the education side, but really fully prepared head to toe for that interview to go get that job and really be the future leaders. That was a proud moment for me.
So if you were sitting across from someone that was entering the workforce, you know, right out of college, or if there's someone too that's re-entering the workforce that has, you know, retired from an industry that she's been in for 20 years, is there advice that you would share with them?
You know, the best advice came, I think, I've had a lot of really good advice over the years. You know, one of the things I remember being in college, I had my school counselor, my advisor at the time, he looked at my information and he said, "You're a business major?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "What do you want to do?" And I said, "I want to be a banker." And he scratched out a couple of the econ classes and he made me take golf and acting 101. And I thought, what an odd pair of items to give me. And he said, "Well, if you're going to be a banker," he said, you're going to need to be able to communicate. And at the time, and I would say to some extent now, but at the time I was really quiet and really reserved and really preferred to stay in the background. He goes, "You're going to need to learn how to communicate. And you're going to need to do that on a golf course." So that was a great piece of advice. And then when I really started my career as a banker, the thing that really opened my eyes, I had a really good friend of mine who was in the analyst program with me. And, you know, I was interested in really continuing to pursue a career in energy. And at that time, you know, you came out of the analyst pool and you had to interview for positions in certain groups. And, you know, I thought, well, if he's interested, then maybe I shouldn't compete, or maybe I'll pick real estate. But if he's interested, I don't know. And the best advice he gave me, he said, "Mari," he's like, "don't do that." He said, "I want you to compete." And he said, "Because I would never step aside for you." He said, "I expect you to compete. And if you beat me out for this job," he said, "I will be so proud of you and I will be the first to congratulate you." So, you know, it really stuck with me that, you know, you really have to compete. You have to put yourself out there. You have to be in the game. And it always stuck with me throughout my entire career that you can't just sort of be okay with stepping aside or maybe I shouldn't raise my hand or maybe I'm not fully prepared. You know, you have to take those opportunities and you have to, you know, put yourself out there and talk to people and really compete. So I think the best advice I could tell anybody is always compete and, you know, put your name in the hat, you know, raise your hand, step forward for that assignment, but, you know, just compete and make sure that, you know, you have a chance to really win or achieve that, you know, whatever goal that you want to achieve or win that job or get that promotion. So definitely compete and never step aside.
what great career advice for women of all ages and for men as far as that goes. So I think anyone could take those ideas and run with them and be successful. And I know now we want to focus on you. I know we all should be thinking every day of how we want to be remembered. But can you share a little bit about what you want your legacy to be and how you want to be remembered?
So that's an interesting question is, you know, what is your, you know, what do you want your legacy to be? What do you want to be remembered for? And really for me, you know, I really love what I do for a living. I'm very fortunate. I really have fun with it. I want anybody that I work with to always remember that, you know, whatever Mari did, she did it with a bit of fun and laughter and a little bit of spark, right? Enjoy what you do. Really make sure that you're embracing everything, every part of your job, every part of your life. Have fun with it. I try not to take myself too seriously. I think my staff knows that. I really joke around a lot. I really try to involve everybody. We will have all kinds of, you know, funny little things that we do in the office, or we give away gift certificates for all sorts of things. And so, you know, I think at the end of the day, if I, you know, hopefully get to retire and, you know, before I sail off into the sunset, if people say, hey, you know, what's your legacy, is, you know, Mari worked hard, but Mari had fun. And she really tried to help as many people advance and achieve their goals. Every bit is, you know, her trying to achieve her own goals. She was also focused on helping others achieve their goals.
You know, there's so many adjectives I could think of to describe Mari. But if you had to pick one, what would it be?
I think if I had to use an adjective to describe myself, it's probably relentless. You know, one of the things that if you spend any time with me, you'll quickly find out that I'm a long distance runner. So it started off with me running half marathons, then full marathons. And next thing you know, I'm running an ultra marathon, and I've done several ultra marathons. And for me, running is really a description of life and everything that I sort of really encompass, which is, you know, never to give up, always to strive for that next goal, even if it means breaking down a race or your life or anything that you're trying to accomplish, bringing it down to smaller pieces. But really, it is, I think the reason I gravitate to those races is that I'm just relentless, is I don't really know how to give up. I'm always pushing forward. You know, as I said before, even if I make a mistake, that mistake, I use it to learn from it, to grow from it, or at least I now know what not to do. But, you know, I think that adjective that I think most people would tell you, and I probably would tell you is a good description for myself, is relentless.
When I first met you, I had no idea, you know, your background. So it's an amazing journey. And thank you for sharing with us.
Thank you for watching the Global Business Women's Pod, brought to you by the Greater Houston Women's Chamber of Commerce. We cannot wait to see you next Thursday at 6 p.m. And remember, you can always find us at ghwcc.org.